cranking it right back up on Off the Rails Friday. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz. Got another hour to go. Fast first hour. It'll even get faster as we welcome in Doug McLean in a few minutes. We are live on Sportsnet. Sportsnet 960.
Hey, these hats are sick.
They're really good.
Yeah,
in Calgary?
Nice. Yep.
Let me finish.
Oh, sorry.
650 in Vancouver. And I don't know what the heck's
like,
going on.
They know
in
what it's on. Like, if they're listening to us already, know, they know what it's on.
But it's really our way of just saying, hi, guys.
We're everywhere. Oh, we're acknowledging you. Yes. Oh, I see. That's
hello,
nice.
Vancouver. Hello, Calgary. We love you.
Yeah.
Oh, now you just ruined it.
Yeah, it was now too sarcastic. Like, that wasn't
cool. Like it when I do it better than you, Sammy, because you're
I suck.
Not genuine.
Oh.
Because you're such a Toronto guy.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The problem is he's too genuine.
I protect them a little bit from you.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
is it fair?
You probably should.
As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365.
Thank you to them.
All right, so a lot of news coming out of Edmonton.
Yeah.
They're not happy.
Large story.
And enough that they're going to make a goaltending change.
Crazy.
Skinner,
not that crazy.
Out. Crazy. Pickard in.
Mm-hmm. You got to do something different. You can't keep doing what you've been doing. I
get the 12
tired.
Goals in two games. I get
don't
it.
Do it.
But
don't blame other people.
Can you, like, it's kind of over now for Skinner, basically, isn't it?
In Edmonton.
Well, just the only way that Edmonton saves this series is through Pickard, and it's kind of waving the white flag on Skinner. It's over. This is the guy that we kind of built up for the last couple of years. And when we need him most right now, we're not going to you.
Or, you know, we've seen Braden Holtby get replaced by Grubauer. We've seen Fleury get replaced by Murray and vice versa. And Hill and Thompson.
We saw them do this last year.
That's
critical.
They did this last year in the second round. They did this when Vancouver, he had two putrid games against Vancouver, and they put Pickard in for multiple games. They've done this.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's the right move. I get why they do it, but it feels like an early dice move.
It's not like this, Pickard's also played 15 games or less. This guy.
36 starts.
36 starts. And his numbers were decent.
900 save percentage and 36 starts. He is.
Decent.
League average. Roughly.
Get ready for league average,
hey, buddy,
baby.
They will take league average. They'll win a lot of games at league average. Skinner was an 896 this year in 51 starts. You know, not that much worse, but worse. They got to do some things differently. They've changed their D pairs. More Klingy. Klingy's getting some line one treatment with Bouchard. Klingberg Bouchard
is
wild. Talented as all heck, but it is scary.
You got it. The general, man, you're looking at, this is the prime of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and you're ripping out Calvin Pickard and your starting goalie and John Klingberg and Evan, like, what is going on here?
I will say this, and I'm
so
curious.
I don't want to do that on their game day, but good Lord.
I'm curious to get Doug McLean's thoughts on this because he lived it as a general manager, coach, a president, but like, there's not a snowball's chance that it's Pickard tonight without the blessing of that guy who's hanging up on our wall right there. I'm not here to suggest that
he didn't do it.
That Connor's making the call on who the goalie is tonight, but there's a very good chance they've asked him and Leon, maybe one other guy. What are your thoughts? And lo and behold, Pickard's in. So you connect the dots.
Yeah.
But this
you think
does not happen without this man's blessing.
I think a lot of coaches involve the leadership group for big decisions, and this guy's been a big part of their team, Skinner.
A big part of our show on Fridays is text messages. No, it's Doug McLean, former NHL president, GM, and head coach. You good? You all right? How's everything in your...
Did Borny just say, and you just say, that you would never make a goalie change unless you consulted with your leadership group? Are you guys... No, you talk to your GM and maybe your owner.
For sure.
You don't talk to the leadership, except McDavid.
Right.
So...
he's not a leadership group, by the way. He's the friend.
Yes, he is. Noted. So where would Connor have been in on Pickard starting tonight, in your opinion? Like is it just a quick, hey, Connor, what do you think? Are you okay with this? Like where would you see it?
I would think it was with the clip when they showed him on the bench rolling his eyes after those goals with him the other night. Just having a look at those clips. By the way, I have to tell you, I'm back in Toronto for two or three days to spend some time.
When?
Obviously, I went for last week Greg Millen's separation or celebration of life, and I'll tell you what, it was spectacular. But you know what? So it was a terrific day honoring Greg, and I loved the guys did a masterful job organizing and putting on, and it was a wonderful event to honor a great friend. But as I wandered around Toronto, it was like, when did they think I'm working full time at Sportsnet again? Like, it was bizarre. I said, no, I only do a half hour a week, guys. No, they think I'm full time. And, you know, I was wandering around downtown Toronto.
That's a good thing for you, by the way.
People asking me for my autograph. It reminded me when Borny asked me for my autograph, and I think it was Sam Cosentino that asked me for my autograph. I hope he doesn't take my spot on the panel like Borny did. God. Anyway, we had a great...
Thanks for the call. You're here. It's great to catch up.
Yeah, well, you know what? By the time I go to Morton Steakhouse to a meeting that Kippy organized, I had to go there. You know, and, you know, I was pretty well tied up, you know, with Kippy's PR moves, you know? Anyway, it was good.
Can we get this back on the rails?
Before we get into our meeting and session here, I had coffee this morning with the Dead GM Society, Dale Tallon, Ron Hextall, and myself at Starbucks here in Delray. And, of course, Jeff Rimmer asks if he could come with us and join us so that he could be like he was interviewing us, you know, because he doesn't interview anymore since he's been fired from Columbus or retired, whatever he did. So, anyway, we had a great hockey session with those guys. It was spectacular, really, listening to old stories and new stories and our thoughts on everything with the, you know,
it should be a podcast.
Our thoughts. It was really a session that probably could have helped Bettman with a lot of his decisions.
All right. You're going down this path, which decisions?
I'm not going down.
Okay. All right. So anyway, can we just get back to Edmonton for 1 second here?
Hexie, by the way, Hexie told me to tell you he remembers you at Hershey's training camp, and he said to say hello.
It was really no Hershey's training camp. It was the Philadelphia Flyer training camp.
Okay.
And Hexie never made it down there when I was there. He was too good. Okay.
I said to Hexie, I said, I'll never forget being on the Washington Capitals bench when he scored a playoff goal against us. A playoff goal Ron Hextall scored against
Amazing.
And I looked over at Brian Murray and I said, things aren't going good, Brian. And then, of course, Hexie says to me, he said, yeah, and I remember when you were coaching the Panthers and you beat us in 6 games and it wasn't fun with Lindros and company. So it was just a great session. Of course, Dale, you know, he's still taking credit for the Blackhawks Stanley Cups and the Panthers Stanley Cup. So it was a real good session. So anyway.
I'm going to take another attempt at, like, getting this thing
good
back.
Good luck, man. Good luck.
Okay. Can Pickard save this series?
Wow. I guess it's a rallying cry here. I think I said on this show 6 weeks ago I thought L.A. would win this series, and you guys laughed at me and mocked me.
It was what you were wearing.
Anyway, I got dressed up today. But anyway, look, yeah. You know, if they can get a win and a bit of a rallying cry, they're too good a team to go down in a whimper like this. They really are too good a team, guys. And I know the guy, I know Ekholm's a big loss in the back end, especially for Boucher. I know they've got issues there. They're thin up front. It's the same problems they've had for 2, 3, 4 years, and yet they went to the Stanley Cup Finals. I would never underestimate Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, and Pickard may be the rallying cry they need. But you know what? LA is a good team. They're a good team, and Kopitar is still a star. He's still a star, which is hard to believe that he's still that good. So it's not going to be an easy comeback for them, to say the least.
So, just to set the stakes a little bit for the Oilers, what were to happen? And for the record, I think they're winning tonight. I think this is not going to be a walk of a series by any means. But if they lose in this first round to the Kings, is there any fallout? Is there anyone in management or players? What do you think becomes of, a team that was so close last year and this year is not as close, it doesn't appear?
Well, they can't fire another coach. I mean, they've done that. They've been there down that road too many times. They've got a new general manager in there that's won Stanley Cups, although Dale, as I said, Dale takes credit for that. So I just... what do they do?
Yeah.
What do they do? Except the last thing you want to do if the series ends in that vein, you don't want to run into the owner for a while, I'll tell you that, as a new management team. Jeff Jackson will be under the gun next year like you can't believe. People were raving what they did in the offseason. I thought it was not Arvidsson, Skinner. Guys, are you kidding me? That's the best they could come up with. It was not pretty. What they did with losing those two kids to St. Louis was devastating. That was devastating, guys. And we shook it off when it happened. Tough to match. They could have probably matched one of them at least. But I'll tell you what, it changed St. Louis's team, and it really, really hurt the Oilers. So they've got they're in tough right now. I really believe they are.
Connor McDavid is eligible to sign a new contract July 1st. And
that's the pressure. That's the pressure.
So again, if by chance they go down 3-0 and they find a way to lose this series, money will not be an object to sign him, right?
No.
So does bowing out early here jeopardize anything for you in your mind on the future of Connor McDavid in Edmonton based on what he has gone through in the last week and a half, 2 weeks here?
Connor McDavid is a little bit like Sid Crosby going through Pittsburgh, except there's one thing missing.
Yeah, two things missing.
Mario Lemieux was there as a guiding force, number one. That was one thing that was missing in Edmonton. I think it opens up a whole can of worms that he's going to have to step back and say, I'm this deep into my career. I haven't won the way the other superstars. I mean, even Ovi won in Washington, guys. Even Ovi won in Washington, and it took him a while, but he came through, and look what he's accomplished in his career. Sid, look what he's accomplished. McDavid's the next one, and it's not pretty if they bow out in the first round. I still think it's going to be a long series, but it will not be pretty for the Oilers to try to get this guy redone.
Anything else on Edmonton?
No, I'm good.
All right, let's go around the some of the other Canadian series. Talk about the Montreal Canadiens down 2-0 as well. But a pleasant surprise to be here. They've been close with Washington. Interesting, at the end of the game, needing a goal, Laine sat on the bench. I don't know if you saw that. They decided he wasn't quite worthy. What are your thoughts on where the Habs are and where they're going?
Well, look, you're happy to make the playoffs, and they did battle through it. Line A has become a real enigma. What do you call him? Enigma for me. He really has. I mean, this guy lets more people down at important times, whether it's in Winnipeg, whether it's in Columbus, whether it's in Montreal. He always becomes a bit of a problem, and I feel bad for him. I feel bad for him, but enough already. Mm-hmm. This is too important. Do we have to talk about that series? Like, seriously. Okay. I really don't want to talk about that series. I want to talk about Ottawa.
Okay.
Toronto. That's okay. What I want to talk about.
We try to avoid that here.
You guys talk about that in the next half hour if you want, but I don't really, I'm not interested.
Tell me about Ottawa, so, Doug.
Okay. I'm disappointed they're down 3-0, to say the least. I mean, But how do you win a round with an 840 save percentage from your goaltender?
No, what is it? 815.
840. I mean, seriously, guys. I mean, Benoit said it himself. He hasn't scored a goal since Pee Wee, and he gets the winner in overtime. I mean, come on. I mean, what is going on?
Mac, and isn't
they didn't play. I'm giving Toronto full marks. Ottawa are not ready to win. Look how long it took Toronto to get over the hump to win, you know, even a first round. And the way that Toronto are playing Ottawa, I have no chance, in my opinion. They've been close games, but they're just not ready to win. They made the playoffs, a great year. They've got a good, solid base, but they're not playing desperate enough for me. When you move in, when you make the playoffs and then you get into the playoffs, Nick, you've been there. You know how the level changes. It is a whole new game, and they're not ready to take that step, in my opinion, yet. And I really like lots of things about their team. I like lots of things about their organization. But they did not show me anywhere close to enough desperation last night to win that game. Am I wrong in that?
No.
Is that how you guys saw it?
Well, we were saying the stats, Doug. I know you love the analytics. Puck battle wins. The Leafs were over 60% and have been, I think, all three games in the series.
How was the ice chilled?
It's actually heavily in Ottawa's favor. Puck has been the Leafs' end a lot.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought that, but that's why I asked. But look, I agree. I just think there's so many good things. I'm telling you who I've been impressed with is Marner. I mean, that play he made last night, this guy is on a mission. He has been for the last month or two. The play he made last night is I don't know if I've ever seen a play that good in a critical playoff game ever. I don't know if I've ever seen a play that well. And, you know, Matthews puts it home, but Marner's on a mission to not let this team lose. And with everything he's been through, with his lack of playoff success, with Matthews' lack of playoff success, I'm enjoying watching them get some success. I really am. And like I said, with the tariffs on the Stanley Cup, they may win it.
Mac,
with
another win Saturday night, being able to kind of watch out what happens next out of Florida, out of Tampa Bay and the Panthers, with another win, are the Leafs ready now to give a much bigger fight if Florida can win two more games?
Well, you know, what's going to be the interesting thing is what's Barkov's status? You know, is he going to play? Barkov, the little bit I know of Barkov, this guy doesn't like to play unless he's 100% healthy. So if he has to play banged up, it could really affect his game. And we know how important I know Tkachuk is very important, Bobrovsky, but Barkov is really the guy that makes this team go along with Tkachuk. If he's not healthy, I think they can play with the Panthers. I really do think they can play with the Panthers. I remember months ago saying I was impressed with Benoit because he brought some bite to the back end, and then he really dropped off and struggled. But how impressive has this kid been? I know he's made the two big Paul Coffey rush and the big play last night, but listen, this guy's been an important guy in that back end for meanness and grit and some bite back there. So I think they can play with the Panthers. I really do.
So you're the head coach of Florida and you watch Hagel take out your best player last night. What's a Doug McClain saying the next day?
I remember saying on the bench one time when Tutu was running around in Nashville, you know, just running around. I was on the bench and I was losing my marbles. And I said, would somebody break his wrist? Would somebody slap him and break his wrist? I might be a little more vicious than that. And the guys are looking at me like I was crazy on the bench.
Okay, so
like Tutu was running around trying to hurt me. I'm like, okay, come on. Somebody's got to, you know.
Anyway. There's a hearing going on. I'm not even sure if it's happened, but they're under the clock here because they play tomorrow at 1 p.m. for game three here. So what has to happen here? This is just not a late hit on just another player. We are talking about the heart and soul.
Player doesn't matter, though, right?
Oh, no.
Look,
big time it matters.
You're getting soft, in
no,
my opinion.
Tell me what you think.
I think you're getting soft. I thought it was a late hit. I know the puck wasn't there. I mean, it's playoff hockey. It's vicious. It's both. I mean, what is that? Seriously? I mean, is it one game? It can't be more than one game.
I'm asking.
I don't think he should get a game for it. I think he should get a fine. Ooh. Can you give him a fine? I'm sorry. I don't think it was anywhere as bad as you guys thought it was.
Mac,
I'm sorry.
The issue here now is
this is not teams, rec hockey.
Other teams.
Rec hockey's played at 11 o'clock at night in the rinks.
I'm telling
Toronto
you right
area.
Now, if I played today, I'd go.
Oh, that's a fine?
No, I'd go, okay. So if I can just time a little late hit and hit their best player.
Is it a blindside hit?
No, I'll try my best to mirror Hagel's hit on the other team's best player.
I will take that trade all day long. And I watch Billy Lindsay and Fitzgerald do that in every game we play in the playoffs. Yeah. Every game. And Eddie Jovanovski, I watched it every night. I'm sorry. I know it. I know it's a little dirty. I get that. But this is the playoffs, guys.
I know.
Come
but
on.
That's also 30 years ago.
Okay. I guess you're right.
But I'm thinking, about bunting on Chernak. Like he ends up, he gets suspended 2 games for that or something, and then 3 games. And then Chernak doesn't play again that whole series. Huge advantage for the Leafs and well worth it. If you can get away with that hit on Barkov for just a fine, whew, green light.
Is Barkov playing next game? Do we know?
Don't know.
I would call it highly unlikely.
So what do you think he's got?
Concussion.
What did they?
I don't know.
I think
what?
A concussion.
Was there a headshot there? I didn't see a headshot.
I don't think it's a headshot, but I think his head might have hit the ice or the boards or something.
At the end of the day, you took out their heart and soul franchise player. And Barkov's not McDavid, but think about if McDavid took that hit.
Yeah.
McDavid took that hit.
Out of the league.
Okay, what if it was Lorenz that took that hit? What's the suspension? Yeah.
Great question.
Different. Different.
But it's suspension. Different. Tell me that.
No. It shouldn't be, but it is.
It's a fourth line guy. What's he get?
Yeah.
Is there any precedent that we protect the stars more than the other guys?
Oh, yeah.
What's the precedent? I don't think that's the case.
The precedent is in the regular season. We do. In the regular season.
Think so? I mean, I'd like to see the stars protected. Hey, but I don't see any signs of them doing it.
But we're talking about the difference between
the Panthers. If I'm the Panthers, I'm going nuts.
I'm nuts. I'm going nuts. Okay. But we're also. Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't see blindside. I didn't see a headshot. I saw
a late hit. A
late hit with no puck. That's what I saw.
And a player that was unsuspecting of a hit.
What do you want Hagel to do? He should have bear hugged him, I guess. He should have bear hugged him. I don't know.
Not hit him.
It's just a player that could be the difference between winning a third Stanley Cup and not.
Hagel is a second Western. Hagel's a Western League kid that means business at playoff time.
Hagel rules.
Oh yeah,
Hagel.
Yeah.
He's a player. No doubt about it. I want him on my team.
And you know what, Nick, you'll probably be right. You'll probably be right. And if I'm the Panthers, I'm losing my marbles. But I just didn't see enough
for
a major suspension.
Think about the optics. If Barkov doesn't come back the rest of the series and Hagel scores the game-winning goal in Game 6, right?
Did the Fulton Reed from Mighty Ducks, well worth it comment.
Like you almost, what was it, Boston and Vancouver where Nathan Horton?
Yeah.
Right? Didn't
he in Rome on
Who'd he hit? Who'd he hit?
Yeah. Rome.
Rome hit
Horton.
Yeah.
Or was it the other way around?
Don't remember.
You're right.
Yeah. And they didn't even give him a game, Mac. They didn't give him a number. They just,
I was talking,
they just kept,
I was talking
out
to Jody Hull. I was talking to Jody Hull at Greg's Celebration of Life there. And I said, Jody, remember, you know, when Lindros cross-checked you across the back and broke like two ribs with his, because he had a heavy piece of lumber that Eric Lindros played with. Did you ever lift his stick, one of Lindros's sticks? And he broke with a slap, a cross-check behind the back. We lost Jody Hull for the series. And, you know, they didn't suspend Lindros for that. But look, I
but it
know
was Jody. Hey, Jody, we yeah love you, bud, but you're not Barkov.
So that, so you're going back to who the player is then?
100%. Because this player could be the difference between another Stanley Cup final for Florida or getting knocked out.
What happened last year in the Bruins-Panthers series when they knocked Marchand basically out of the series? What happened there? What did Bennett get for that?
I can't remember.
Remember
now
that?
No, I think he got nothing, right?
He got nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, and he knocked. He basically knocked Marchand out of the series.
A little sneaky.
So anyway, I didn't like the hit. I didn't like the hit.
But I just think it's a slippery.
I'm not on the soapbox like you are.
No, I'm not. It's not a soapbox. I just understand.
You're usually on the money on these things.
If it's a fine, as a player who wants to help my hockey club the best I can,
you'll pay that money.
I will think about taking out their best player in a retaliation just to even it up.
Yeah, and this is the guy talking me down off the ledge who took out the goaltender in the playoffs.
But it also doesn't happen anymore, what you're talking about. When's the last time you saw some retaliatory target the other team's star?
You know what? Did he really go? Hagel's a star, too.
Absolutely.
Hagel's a star,
he had 90
guy
points this year, and he's on Selke
balance. It's not like Nick Kiprios took out Barkov.
I'd be in jail today.
Who's one of the best players on Tampa Bay. Anyway, we can beat a dead horse. I didn't see it as bad as you guys, and I know Kippy's an expert on these things. I know that, and I appreciate
it. I'm not.
That.
I'm he's just giving a, you my
got,
opinion.
No, you got a better feel for it than I do. I just think I like to see some viciousness in the playoffs. I really do.
I don't mind it either. I just just don't want to see great players
get hurt
out. That's all. Right. So
yeah, I don't like what, like that's, you can't make that. That can't be a defining factor because he's the best player. I'm sorry. In my opinion, it can't be.
I'm with him.
And in my opinion, it can be. It's just different rules for different players. That's
and you'll,
all.
Yeah, and you'll probably, I mean, Gary will be listening and Coley will be, I'm sure they don't miss this show.
He's getting a game.
And
at least.
Yeah.
At least.
But a game's the best all day long trade-off.
Yeah.
Right.
Barkov misses more than one, for
yes,
sure.
For sure.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. I can't let you go without asking you of thinking of unsuspecting Winnipeg getting lit up in St. Louis and Hellebuck having a bit of a rough night.
I've never seen a team with, you know, so far in the playoffs that has forechecked as ferociously as I watched St. Louis forecheck last night. It wasn't even close that game. They forechecked like they were on a mission, and they looked fast, and Winnipeg, who are a fast team, looked really slow. Mm-hmm. Cam Fowler, where's he been? Did you see how good he was last night at times? I mean, he was unbelievable. And that was one of the most unheralded trades all year long. And last night he was a difference maker in that game. Binnington versus Hellebuck, as the series progresses, it'll be interesting. But I don't want to talk about this series. I want to talk about Vegas.
Okay, hurry up. We got to go.
And your Four Nations tournament, who, you know, they lose Theodore or gets hurt in that series. You're talking about getting hurt, you know. Theodore's banged up. And, I mean, did you see that way that pair played, McNabb, Theodore last night? And even Hanifin and Pietrangelo were horrible. And then you got Brodin and Faber, who are stars in the other end, and you got Kaprizov and Boldy, or whatever his name is.
Boldy.
And you got Eichel and Stone doing nothing. I mean, it's scary right now the way Vegas are looking, you know? And the goaltender, Gustafson. I mean, it's got a chance to be a heck of a series. Minnesota are healthy. Everybody forgets they're one of, they were as good as Winnipeg before they got all their injuries halfway through the season. They're going to be tough.
Minnesota's a 113-point team last year that just suddenly didn't have it right. this year. There's some right. underlying talent there. That Boldy's yeah. awesome.
All right, Mark, we got to let you go.
I'm going to get roasted over this Barkov thing. So because I'm in Florida, it may not be safe to go out to dinner tonight. Well, they don't even know the Panthers are in the playoffs. But anyway, I really hope that Barkov plays. I really hope yeah. he does. And I hope Hagel plays too.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
maybe we can see Tkachuk and Hagel go again, you know?
Ooh.
No, you can't fight. It's a playoffs.
Tkachuk played 13 minutes last game, 11 the one before. It's crazy, eh?
Yeah. All right, Mac, thanks for doing this, pal.
Thanks a lot for having me. How many more shows have we got, guys, to listen to? Over?
Who's asking? You or Jill?
July.
Jill is asking.
Tell Jill we're taking you right to July.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really enjoy the show when I'm on.
Yeah,
thanks, Mac.
All right, everybody. Doug McLean. Those first 5 minutes... Like, that's maybe the worst he's ever been taken.
The best.
Our show ever. Hostage. Hostage.
I was cutting some Chris Knobloch and Paul Maurice stuff. I didn't hear it, but it just seemed like it was completely.
I didn't even know where he's going. Yeah.
I don't know. That's what just happened.
He's right about Hagel.
What?
It's
interference. Hit.
It's interference. It's
not.
It's interference.
It's interference.
Yeah. I mean, it's an NHL a Stanley Cup playoffs. You're admiring your pass. You got a hammer.
Not admiring anything. He's forechecking, and he never touches the puck.
The puck's around. Get your head up. But it's the Stanley Cup playoffs, man.
He knows it's Barkov, and he lays a licking on him, okay?
Yes.
The puck's right there, but it's not.
He never touches it.
He doesn't touch it. No, he's not even close. Hedman beat him by a foot, bud.
You might as well just drub a random guy out there.
He's got him in the trolley tracks.
Where he is eligible to be hit, he thinks there's a chance the puck is going to be on his stick. He's digging for the puck there. He's got a stick.
He thinks
like
there's a chance. He rolls the dice and he's wrong. And
for sure.
He knows it's Barkov.
It's a bang, bang play. It's the fastest game on earth, and he hammered him.
Okay, it's bang, bang, but it's
interference.
Bang.
It's interference. It's a 2-minute penalty. No head contact.
Oh, my God.
No head contact.
Sammy, stop. Stop. Stop.
What?
Stop.
Doug's right.
Doug's not right.
No, he's not. He's not. That's just that's getting a lick on a guy, on a vulnerable player,
again,
knowing
like
he is the best player. The best player. That guy out of the game, he knew a hit like that could take him out
of
the game.
If that's Lustoranen forechecking, he doesn't even throw that hit.
I don't think that's true.
It's 100% true. He just probably angles with the player and keeps playing hockey, but it's Barkov.
Hammered him. It's game time. It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. All right, so some action on the ice tonight. The Montreal Canadiens return home to the Bell Center. Their best chance to get back, their only chance to get back in this series. They are -105 on home ice tonight. The Washington Capitals -115. So the book's giving the Habs a pretty good chance tonight to get back into it. I like the Washington Capitals by a goal and a half at +210 tonight.
I like Montreal.
No.
Yeah, they get one tonight?
They do not.
I think that there were signs enough out of Washington that they could make them nervous. St. Louis, what an effort against Winnipeg last night at home.
Shows you what going home can do.
I think Montreal can pick up that energy as well and take their game up a notch.
I'm curious this line A thing. You know, weird to get healthied and then not skate the next day with a maintenance day. And what's going on there?
The body's broken down on him, but.
Yeah.
The Devils return home trying to get back into their series. +145 against the Carolina Hurricanes are -170 on the money line on the road against the Devils. And the Edmonton Oilers, they're looking for a big time win tonight, a franchise changing win for them tonight. -150 on home ice tonight. The LA Kings, you could do worse than the LA Kings at +125 tonight on the money line. You got to think that the Oilers get one tonight.
How do you bet -150?
You can't.
The Klingberg Bouchard top pair. How do you do it?
But I have a hard time believing.
I do think the Oilers are winning tonight.
Yes.
I would never stake money on that particular bet.
Nope, neither would I. And anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll get into some news and notes and also some of your text messages as well. Sammy, you got any? 590, 590?
We'll see if they come in.
All right. All right, more. When Rail Kipper and Bourne continues.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. As a reminder, this hour of Rail Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee.
You know,
who just wanted a 2-minute penalty interference on Hagel.
2 minutes.
Listen, I say a ton of stuff on this show and you never care. Like, are you friends with Barkov? Are you like, is there a relationship?
Sammy, what are you talking about with this one?
I'm getting a million texts.
You've never been more wrong.
Sammy, listen, at the end of the day, let's cut to the chase here, okay?
Oh, if it was Matthews, you'd be so mad. Yeah, probably. I'm a fan.
Listen, and you only speak of a fan.
Yeah.
But we're a little bit more objective.
Sure. But I don't hate Barkov. I don't hate Hagel.
Your thought process only stems from one thing. Your vision of watching the Leafs play Florida in the next round without Barkov.
It does not.
Come clean,
Bob.
Come
loves the hit.
Come clean.
Oh, no.
Come clean.
Captain.
All right? That's it. Listen, that's all you're about now.
You can yell at me and make it seem like that.
I'm not yelling. Hey, listen.
I thought
I'd have a lot more respect right now if you just said, yeah, you're right.
I mean, it helps. But I don't. Like, that's not what
It helps.
I guess I just love violent hockey. And I thought the puck was around there and he had his head down.
Nobody loves violent hockey more than me.
He's down.
Right?
Looking for the puck.
I just don't think that you want to set the precedent now of guys.
Who doesn't want to set the league loves it. Every highlight thing I see is the fights at the Four Nations, guys getting hammered. They love this stuff. This is what they want. They want hatred.
Yes, but
but they want good players in the games too. And you can't eliminate one of the game's best.
You can't target other teams' best players. It's a wonderful trade-off if Hagel gets a game and you've knocked Barkov out of the series.
I mean, I think Barkov will play.
Yeah, doctor now.
At some point.
We've got one. His name's Jason Smith. We don't need another doctor.
If he's out
Scarborough
for the
zone.
I don't know. Listen, we're not going to agree. So we can yell at each other some more if you want. But
I think we covered it.
I got so many texts. I can't keep up. All of them agreeing with me, by the way. But it's a split.
You're in charge.
It's a split. There's lots of people saying I'm an absolute idiot. Lots of people saying that they agree. It's a good topic. Do you want me to read the ones that agree?
No. Let's hear.
Okay. No, I don't.
Okay. Hey, Kipper, Bourne, and Sammy. Connor McDavid is 28, 10 years into his career, basically halfway through, and no cup. How worried are you that he will be the best player in the history of the game to not win a cup? Hey. To me, those offer sheets for Holloway and Broberg feel like they shifted us into another dimension. With those guys, I feel like the Oilers get it done. P.S. The Leafs are looking good, Sammy.
It's not about how worried we are. It's how worried Connor is. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters. And I would think that going out in 4 or 5 or even 6 games right now would be a reflection situation starting the moment you get knocked out right to the end of the summer on what am I doing here? Because how many prime years does he have left?
Here's what I think. Connor McDavid has earned $82,430,945 so far. That's pretty good. And he's on track to make another 25 over the next couple seasons, 12 and a half next year and the remainder this year, whatever. You know, if you're a guy like that and you are the best player in the league and you are dead set on winning a cup, what stops you from doing like LeBron James has done and some guys later in their careers and just signing 1-year contracts every year?
That's not happening.
What stops you? Just the loss of potential money if you get hurt?
Well, what would stop you is the Edmonton Oilers would have to pull a Calgary Flames. Where?
What does that mean?
It means that you can't have him on just a 1-year deal next year. And
Or what, though? He has the cards, Kip.
And then and he walks. You got to trade him.
You let him walk because he doesn't?
You got to trade him. You got to trade him. He's not going to want to stay and bury 1 year at a time.
A 1 year option.
On a team that you don't believe that can win now. Okay? It's not about 1 or 2 year deals. A guy like that, a guy like Sidney Crosby, it's irrelevant what's left on his contract or what he has or doesn't have on his contract. It's irrelevant. It only works for everybody else.
Because he can leave whenever he wants to leave.
These guys can dictate. Yeah. He can go back up. And Matthew Tkachuk did it in Calgary. Mm-hmm. I'm not resigning.
Oh. Yeah.
So you want to play out one more year? I'll stay here. But at least Matthew Tkachuk had the cojones to go back up to Calgary and say, this is my intentions. It's not, will you stay? Will you not stay? It's not Tavares and the Islanders. It's not even Mitch Marner now with the Leafs, where you don't get a definitive answer. Matthew gave them a definitive answer in Calgary.
But I think it's, you can be definitive and say, I want to be here in Edmonton, and I want to win here in Edmonton. As long as we're competitive, I'm going to be here.
But who's,
give me a 2-year deal.
Who's guaranteed? I don't think he's interested in that. I don't. He doesn't have another 2 years to waste. It's whether or not you believe.
But he may believe in the short term, and let's see it. I want to make sure that we're still in the mix.
If this guy needs another 6 months to decide, it's going to be mayhem in Edmonton if this guy plays out next year.
I actually think it kind of matters how far the series goes. And I hate to even be having this conversation.
There's a 2-0.
Yeah, it's 2-0. They can easily
No. This is a conversation that's real. People may not like to hear it, but it's real.
Yeah.
Okay? And
those are the stakes.
Whether you're ownership, whether you're management, whether you're a season ticket holder, this conversation is real. And it's happening behind the scenes.
But I do think it's influenced greatly by Leon signing and staying. Because I don't think Leon signs and stays, though, going to Connor. You're going to sign and stay, right?
No. I don't believe that for 1 second.
You don't think they had those conversations? Of course they've had those conversations.
I don't believe for 1 second that if Connor doesn't believe that this team can win a cup in the next few years, that he's willing to stay because he told Leon that we're in this together. Don't buy that. Yeah. I appreciate relationships, but Leon in 15 or 20 years could go that way, and Connor's going that way, and Connor doesn't have a cup.
There's tough questions, too, with, like, legacy stuff, right? Like, you know, I feel for John Tavares and the way the Islanders thing played out, and I'm not saying he handled it right. You know, there could have been better ways to handle it, but he was a good captain and a good player for the New York Islanders for, 9 years?
Yeah.
And mattered to the community, good off the ice, and he burned it all down. No one, he's persona non grata around there. And if Connor says he wants to leave at some point, does that affect what he's done in Edmonton, which is far greater and far more than Tavares ever did for Long Island? I know.
Oh, they'll be sour. They'll feel ripped off.
And I think part of it
definitely depends on destination.
Part of the math, though, for him is how you need to preserve that reputation and that the years you had there.
There was a
and will have, I think. By the way, that's not. I don't think he's going anywhere.
There was a up until even Tavares. You could get away with pretending you were going to stay when you really weren't going to stay, and then you could leave. And there used to be like this acceptance, but now it's kind of gone. And maybe Matthew Tkachuk kind of sped that up, but fan bases really feel ripped off if you're giving us the impression you want to stay, but you never really wanted to stay.
Let us trade you at least.
It got really, really sour for fan bases now. They... Mm-hmm. It will, no question, and Tavares is going through that with the Islanders. They feel ripped off.
And that's at stake with Marner in Toronto. Not that he's said he wanted, this or that or whatever, but it all plays into the legacies and reputations.
At the end of the day, they're doing what they feel is right for themselves and their families, and they're entitled to that, but it doesn't diminish the backlash of what the fan base is.
They can't control the perception.
No, they can't.
They can't control the perception.
They can't. But Connor's at a critical time right now in his tenure as an Edmonton Oiler here, and there's a fork in the road right now going into tonight. 3-0 down, 3-0 or 2-1.
Yeah,
like this is huge tonight.
You know what sucks for the Oilers? What changes a lot of this here is it's happening right when the salary cap goes kabloom and everyone has cap space, tons of cap space.
But Connor at 15%, 16% of the salary cap next year. I mean, he's 17, 18. What's your number, pal?
And teams would right? line up to write that check.
Kirill the Thrill and Mitch Marner now, they're looking at 15, 14 and a half, 15 million a year.
The numbers have changed.
The numbers have changed.
Yeah. Big game tonight for the Oilers.
And I would
their
say
top
so.
Pair is Klingberg and Evan Bouchard with Calvin Pickard between the pipes.
Which I just
catch
you know,
the Oilers fever, baby.
What's so hard is you look at the Leafs and all their failings in the past in the playoffs, and all of a sudden they get Brandon Carlo and Chris Tanev on the back end, and they lock it down on D and defend like crazy, get a few more saves, and all of a sudden everyone's like, Marner and Matthews, really? Look at them. They're doing great.
Yep.
It's like, kind of looked like this a lot of the time.
Yeah, they're just getting production.
They're just getting, but they're getting help from the back end.
Yeah, so it was a little getting less space. About how they stunk this time of year and maybe how they built a better team around them.
Definitely. Yeah, they are definitely better supported to suddenly look like they have taken a step individually when I don't know that there's anything that shows me they look better than they have.
I mean, people, there's a ton of people on the text line that are clearly from Edmonton. And there's some 780 area codes texting in mad about this conversation because they think we're relating it to Toronto and him coming to
no, like, absolutely not.
There's lots of really good destinations out there. It's not just Toronto.
This is just about a guy ready to commit potentially July 8 more years, but it has to be in a program that he believes in that can help him get over that hump so he can be amongst the greatest players in the game that won a championship.
He's one of the few guys that is playing for more than, it's like Tiger Woods isn't playing golf against people in tournaments all those years. He was playing Jack Nicklaus, right? Like, and that's Connor. It's like, he's going to be a Mount Rushmore guy of this sport. He's playing historical legends for his place in that.
But it drops without a Stanley Cup, right? Whatever he's going to be remembered for, it has to be with a Stanley Cup championship. There's no way about it.
Now, people like myself, even if he doesn't win one, will be like, he did his part. His points per game in the playoffs is through the roof.
But he didn't.
He's not a choker, an underperformer.
But he couldn't win. Games, couldn't win a Stanley Cup.
Games
so hard in hockey if you
right?
don't have
he couldn't
it
lead.
You.
He couldn't lead to a Stanley Cup.
But that's it. You got to have the horses around you. You know, you can't lead me, you, and Sam to a Stanley Cup. Got to have players.
And that's what he knows.
He knows that,
and
of course.
So, you know, moving forward, hey, Stan Bowman, Jeff Jackson, I believe in you. I believe that you're going to get me the guys. So let's stroke the contract right now. But he's got to believe, right?
I mean, fantastic text. That was a 20-minute conversation.
We have one text that we read.
Sneak another one in.
No, we got it. There's too many. I'm overwhelmed. There's a minute left in the show.
So
want to talk about Dylan Larkin? Like, we got a Dylan Larkin question.
What did
like,
he do?
Well, he MF'd Stevie Yzerman at the podium last week.
Yeah,
but
so
that's
we didn't
it.
Do
that was a little,
deadline.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Yeah.
Oh, I think the team was really disheartened that they didn't make a push. Well, they missed playoffs by another 2 points or something.
Yeah, I know. But it's okay to feel that way. But going public against your president and general manager.
Buddy, we're talking about McDavid. Dylan Larkin's 27 or something now. Yeah. He's been spinning his wheels in Detroit. He's frustrated too.
Yeah.
I just want to win.
Oh, no. I get it, man.
Yeah.
All right. Give us a score tonight. Edmonton, LA. 2-1, 3-1?
No. Oil. Big.
5-4, big numbers.
Scoring, yeah.
Nine goals, 10 goals.
I think 5-3 oil tonight.
All I'm saying is McDavid, 3 points minimum.
Yeah. That Kempe's turning into one of my favorite players too.
Snaps it.
Oh, in the league now.
God, is he good.
Yeah.
All right, just like that, fastest hour gone once again on our national program here. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the games, and we're back on Monday. If you get a chance, download us, give us a rating and review. And Nick Blackmore does the best of Real Kipper. Can you believe he can actually find the best of?
It's over now, but
have a great weekend, everybody.